that that human meat is actually not quite that nutritious.
What did I walk in on?
What?
That's interesting. But where did you hear this from, where they're talking about the nutrition value of human meat?
Actually, this is a Mama Jedi fun fact.
Who is Mama Jedi?
Mama Jedi is my
mother.
She's
a cannibal, apparently.
She's pretty much amazing. She's also like 5 feet, 80 pounds. Like awesome. Tiny. She would not be good to eat.
Welcome to Pod Thingy, where the geeks meet over drinks to discuss the latest in pop culture. Join the rock star, the author, the outlaw, and the nerd girl for Pod Thingy.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Welcome back to Pod Thingy. We are hanging in and do what we do. We're drinking and we're talking about geek stuff. My name is John, and I'm here with
Tracy.
And Haydensky.
And Blaine.
Haydensky. was that your attempt to make your name cool?
My name sucks. Hayden right. Christensen took it. That's how much it sucks.
Right.
And yeah. We have another guest this week.
Yay!
We are here with Paul Schreier, who is known for his role of Bulk, which is a nickname, right?
Yeah.
What was the character's real name?
Farkas Bulkmeier.
Bulk from the Power Rangers
series.
Power
Rangers! Shit!
A role he played, is this accurate, for 7 seasons from 1993 to 1999?
It might be 8 or 9 or 10 or 11.
Okay. I got this from IMDb, so you might want to let them know.
No worries. Yeah, I'll call them tonight.
And they're so receptive.
He then returned to the role in 2011 for the 18th season, making him the last original cast member to leave the show. Is that accurate trivia as well?
That is a technically correct.
Did you get a plaque?
Well, no. I mean, I'm under contract, man. It's like the CIA. Like, you think you're done with the Power Rangers.
Just when I thought I was out.
Exactly. Like, I don't do that work anymore. Oh, really? Yes. Yes, you do, funny man. So basically, they have rights to everything in any medium now existing in perpetuity.
Oh, in perpetuity. Yeah.
Interesting. If you said, no, I'm done with that, they still have you in some sort of clause to get you to come back?
They do. They do.
Was your territory universe?
Yeah.
My record contract was territory universe.
Yeah, no, it's for all time anywhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, but it's okay. I mean, what, they're going to call you and say, hey, come make some money in New Zealand.
Yeah.
You know, right. that's a horrible thing to have to do.
Yeah, bummer. You poor thing.
So I'm very curious what it was like to go back to the show after so much time away.
Wow.
How did that happen?
After Haim Saban reacquired the show from the Walt Disney Company, a fabulous day in the annals of Power Ranger fandom. I'm not kidding. Hey, what's this drink? Oh, hold on.
The first guest to ever question what he's putting into his mouth.
What is this?
Yeah.
But after Saban bought the show back, they wanted to recreate the vibe of Bulk and Skull. They wanted to have a couple of Laurel and Hardy-esque, big guy, skinny guy. So they started casting for that. And they had a very limited amount of time to do the casting, and they were unsuccessful in locating guys that they were that were crystalline choices for the roles. And so it was requested by one of the producers, Jonathan Sahor, that I come in and help them with their callbacks.
Oh.
So I was directing some of the talented kids that had made it to like round 3 or 4 or whatever in those auditions, and there were some great guys and gals. And then at the end, they made me do a couple takes on camera with a couple of the guys. And at the end, I got the call, and they were like, maybe you should just play the fat guy again.
Interesting. Oh, wow. But they did not bring Skull back.
Well, that's not true at all, because okay. Skull did appear in the final episode of Power Rangers Super Samurai.
Okay.
And I got to pal around. Basically, I got to sleep in a garage with his 18-year-old son. Not creepy at all. It's awesome.
So what was that like then? I mean, obviously, the first go-round on this, you were young. You were right out of high school, right?
Sure, yeah.
So that's a different sort of performing experience than,
oh,
than,
absolutely.
Than recent. I mean, you come back, you're the Jedi Master, right?
Right. Well, there's certainly a parental vibe going on. But, I mean, my character is an idiot. So, I mean, there's so few of my professional acting colleagues that get to do what they want to do. I mean, everybody, aspires to be successful, and to actually be successful is such a wonderful, wonderful gift. And when they call back, it's cool to go work. And
did you get approached for the movie at all that's coming out?
You mean the big reboot?
The big reboot.
Currently, no, no. But is it out of the question? Well, of course not. It's yeah. Farkas Bulkmeyer. So I mean,
and I just from walking around Ventura Comic Con with you, people were coming up to you and sure. just shaking your hand and just saying, "Man, love you." And it was pretty cool to
it's
watch.
It's kind of, you know, dogs of a certain age.
Geez, Power Rangers seems, especially in the last few years, to have just kind of had a surge, kind of a renaissance of...
Yeah, well, that's the 20-year string tie time clock.
Yeah.
You know, hey, string ties are back. Bing! It's been 20 years. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and Power Ranger fans are so fervent. I mean, it's crazy.
How weird is that for you? I mean, because, you know, half of these people were probably, you know, like 7, 8, mm-hmm. you know, 9.
Yeah.
Younger, maybe? I don't know. What's the sweet spot for a Power Rangers fan? When they're...
Bartender? That's the sweet spot. And anyone who's listening to this that has been in a bar when I walked in and recognized me knows exactly what I'm talking about. And then to go back on Power Ranger Samurai and have, like, parents bring their kids to me, and they're like, "I watched you, and he's watching you, and..."
Bless him, please.
Yeah,
that's really weird. Somebody in Vegas one time asked me to sign their baby.
Oh, nice.
It's not like you can tattoo that. Like, what are you going to do with that?
Well, they probably tattooed that.
Yeah, it was like a buffet. Baby. All they had were those Kino crayons, and I was like, "This really won't stick, but I think I can get it out there."
Just stab the baby with a crayon.
Let me heat this up for a minute. And then we do other things, you know, that please us. So we don't hang all of our hats on an acting career that's pretty dicey sometimes, you know? So that's why I got out and got a thing called a job, Johnny. Yeah. A job.
But it sounds like your job is pretty darn cool.
Sure it is, yeah.
What is your technical position?
I'm senior creative director at a fantastic company called 3D Systems in the creative side. Our company is the number one maker of 3D printers in the world.
That's fantastic. Whoa.
And we have, like, home machines for your kitchen, 3D printers for your kids to make really cool stuff. And then we make really big machines for industrial. We're in medical and aerospace. And
can you print us a bigger audience?
Yeah, but they'd be more stone-faced than your current one.
Well, you know what? We'll take them.
Oh, my God. Hayden did a funny.
It happens occasionally.
So your IMDb, which we've... established maybe out of date a bit. Says you're also a director. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. No, I'm directing people not to choke each other every day. And I'm not kidding. Like, part of my gig is kind of like asset management and, you know, resource allocation and arbitration of internal disputes and occasionally being part of the internal disputes, you know, because there's only so much horsepower in an engine and the hill is always getting steeper. Yeah. Then occasionally when the hill relaxes a little bit, you have all this horsepower, you have to reallocate it or kind of trim some, you know, it's a business that we run. So there's consistent fiscal oversight by robotic automatons with crushing fists of masters of business administration degrees.
Dude, that sentence could have gone on for the next 30 minutes. And I would have been okay.
Amazing.
I was like, yeah, keep going, keep
there
going.
There was no period.
I was seriously like this, like, whoa.
My butt cheeks kept clenching up tighter and tighter.
It also says you're an artist. Are you still doing art?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, when you're art directing at a place like our studio, you're consistently having to make judgments about art, and really a smart art director defers to his team that is perhaps more enmeshed in it personally and emotionally than I am. But did a crazy thing for the King of Jordan.
Whoa!
In case you didn't know this, King of Jordan is a huge Star Trek fan, and I mean. Huge.
Uh-oh. Tracy's moving to Jordan.
And so, and also.
Is he married already?
Tracy's Queen. Shirt just got tighter.
No, I mean, yeah, he's married. He's married to a really, really pretty American lady.
I know. She's gorgeous.
So he has this kind of like Star Trek kind of vibe happening.
Don't cross the streams.
No kidding. And then he also noticed as he looked around his beautiful but small country that there were no theme parks. So he decided, I'm going to open a theme park. And he thought, what is the coolest two things ever? He thought, well, steampunk underwater vibe, because I'm a scuba diver. You know, I'm the King of Jordan stuff.
Well,
and then,
scuba diver,
and I
the
also
desert.
Love the holodeck and Star Trek. Hmm. So he licensed Star Trek to put in his theme park. And the theme park is called the Red Sea Astrarium. And if you check it out on the internickel, on the webses, you'll find it. It's got a huge steampunk-ish clock in the middle of the park, and I made like a little bronze diorama of a little tiny King of Jordan with scuba gear and a little light, and we hid LED lights in it. It was like a little underwater scene, and it's him finding the giant clock that is the centerpiece in the lake at the Red Sea Estuarium.
Oh, wow.
Shit. I wish everyone could see Tracy right
now.
Because
yes.
Should we do a pod thingy field trip?
to Jordan?
Yes.
That'll be cheap.
You're like, where's the Tide of King of Jordan?
I think I just joygasm.
Wow.
Nerdgasm, yeah.
Like, we all love miniature dioramas.
So how is the 3D printing systems involved with Gentle Giant?
Well, I mean, we're our sculpting pipeline is, you know, 98% digital. So we have guys working in ZBrush and in Maya and in Mudbox and in Freeform and a lot of other modeling apps that we create data that eventually is intended mostly, usually, for 3D printing for consumer products and such.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times we're a vendor for video games or movies. We're on set doing body scans of actors, head scans, scans of vehicles like Fast and Furious cars. They bring them to us. We scan them. We retopo the model, make a new mesh, give it back to the filmmaker so they can blow it up in 3D.
That's very cool.
It is. Yeah. It's a kind of a weird kind of way station on the way to visual effects.
So if I want a like 3D model of my face, I come to you? Is that what happens?
Yeah, well, if you want the pitch, man, listen, there's there's new consumer level 3D scanning and 3D printing, like I mentioned, but the 3D scanner, it's $399.
That's not bad at all.
And it looks like a gun from Deep Space Nine. That's what it looks like. And
I could do my penis in like an hour?
A gun or a phaser?
It looks like a phaser of some kind, but it was like it's not their normal phasers. It was like it's a full wraparound, and the piece is called
a Cardassian one.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So the technology is called the Sense and the iSense, and it's a 3D scanner. It's a laser scanner, and it captures textures too. So you can do this around your family and get everybody lined up and do a little scan, and then 3D print a bust of them looking, you know.
Replace a family that doesn't talk back to you and just give you a hard time, yeah.
Now you're all dead.
Well, that's very cool.
You can nuclear test out in the desert with all your 3D models.
You know, 3D printing really these days is additive manufacturing is really the branch of manufacturing that really has the future for America. So manufacturing is coming home.
So we can basically get a 3D scan consumer level based of Hayden,
yes,
who won't talk.
I see the future of pod thingy.
Dude, this is great.
And it's 3D. Like, you could scale him up or down. You could make his head smaller.
You can make me shorter.
Right? You could give him really big feet.
Where's the fun in me not talking? Really? I mean, really.
You know what? We're way into the show, and we haven't
no
had a toast. So let's talk about the drink real quick.
Hayden, you don't have to take that shit.
He does.
I take it like a man.
He absolutely does.
He gives it to himself.
Yeah. The drink of the week is called the All American, and it is 1 ounce of bourbon, 1 ounce of Southern Comfort, and Coke to fill.
It's delicious.
Oh, and it is putting hair on my chest as we
holy
speak.
Holy shit. I see it growing.
She's shaving.
Salud.
As we drink.
Salud.
Right through your lip. I survived pod thingy. We're getting the stickers.
All right.
We're going to tattoo it on you with a crayon.
I wanted to talk, you know, this was a couple weeks ago. This was on our agenda and we never got to it.
You seem to say that a lot.
I know, but it's because we talk too damn much.
I know.
Star Wars Episode 7 has had a lot of rumors, and I want to avoid the big spoilers, but there's a lot of stuff coming out. I mean, there's there's rumors about new characters, there's rumors about familiar planets, there's rumors about what will and will not be CG, about lightsaber duels. We're seeing some concept art. You know, how many stormtroopers will be in Episode 7? What will they look like? Are they going to be...
What will they be made out of?
Yeah, are they going to be chrome? There's images of chrome troopers coming out.
White.
You know? Yeah. What do you guys think about all this this constant barrage of rumors about a movie that's not going to be out for about, you know, a year and a half?
Well, I've said it before. If it wasn't for this goddamn show, I'd be avoiding the internets at all costs.
You know, and that's coming from, and everyone knows my feelings, it's coming from a feeling of being scared to death of this next trilogy. But at the same time, I gotta say, man, there are so much of this shit that I wish I didn't know that sounds so fucking cool. Like, so fucking cool. It's hard not to be an excited little boy again. Yeah. There are things going on. There's pictures coming out. that has made me, you know, giddy right down to my little girly parts.
Yeah, we talked about this previously about, you know, J.J. Abrams is good about throwing disinformation, so we don't know how much of this stuff is bullshit. There was a big spoiler a couple of weeks ago that appeared. I don't want to talk about it, but if that could be a complete...
Did you hear it?
No.
The big one? The big one?
Nope.
Okay, yeah. Good.
If you haven't seen it, definitely sidestep it. But again, that could be total horseshit. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with a property that's so immense and has such a fervent fan following of people that are just voracious for any tidbit of information that's out there. We're so far away from this movie premiering, and we've got so many spoilers. And for me, the stuff that I'm really paying attention to is when, you know, like the star, one of the stars, Oscar Isaacs, talks about what he hates about the prequels and how George Lucas shouldn't have fucked with the original trilogy, and then talks about what they're doing right in the new trilogy. That kind of stuff I kind of take to heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's the stuff I'm really paying attention to.
Or when
to.
They say that C-3PO is all practical.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Anthony Daniels talking about
demanded.
That. Yeah.
He demanded it. He, you know, he said that J.J. Abrams called and said, hey, if you want, we can just do what you did before. And Anthony Daniels said, fuck no.
And there was a lot of that between him being, you know, in the first movie with him not having a shell to the costume. And then, of course, in Attack of the Clones and even in the third movie, having instances like the droid factory.
Oh, the God, the droid factory.
Where he was clearly CG and used as bad comic relief. You know?
Yeah, he did nothing but spout off bad Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes. He sounded so completely different than he did in the original trilogy. And maybe that was because all he was doing was voice work. He wasn't doing the physical part of it.
You know, I know it sounds like I always phone it in 99% of the time of the show, but especially with the Star Wars stuff, I just read the titles. I don't think I'm even as privy as you to you guys, because I want to be surprised.
Yeah, and, you know? It's I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Again, if it wasn't for this show, because you know I invest myself 100% in this show, Hayden.
So, Paul, through the printing stuff, through the Gentle Giant stuff, do you find yourself getting more inside information to these kind of properties or not really?
Oh, yeah. No, totally. All the time.
Like, yeah.
Constantly.
So do you try to avoid them or do you embrace them or how do you approach that?
Well, I mean, in the context of our work on consumer products and collectibles and video game stuff, there's a certain amount of exposure that you're going to get just by being in the game. The problem only arises when you let that spoil your own enjoyment of media because you know too much, right. You know? So... yeah, there's stuff that I know, but it's, you know, it's not anything that's really earth-shaking, and mostly it's esoteric nonsense, right. You know, drivel info.
I used to work in the video game industry, and this is, you know, it's mostly child, educational games, but we did a game for, it's like, has nothing to do with Star Wars, but it's like, we did a game for Babe. You know, Pig in the City,
the
sequel.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got the script. We got, you know, the first screening and everything. But we got the first script of that movie.
Right.
Did you guys see Babe?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
the first one was great.
No, the first one's great.
Yeah.
Second one, it was dark.
Yeah.
Much darker.
It was dark. Yeah. It was dark, and that's why it failed.
I actually really liked the second one better than the first one.
The second one's amazing.
Yeah.
You should see that script.
Different?
Holy shit, that movie was dark. Oh. Like what they cut out of that was crazy.
Did Babe get made into bacon?
Oh my God, Paul.
He was a McRib by the end of the movie.
Such an obvious place to go with that.
Oh my God, thank
too.
You. I was about to give him shit for that.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
That's so obvious.
No, he didn't. No, it's kind of meta. I mean, obviously, at some point, Babe will be on the grill.
Right.
I mean, it's
I don't want to know that.
It's going to happen.
No.
Why is it with the eggs? Isn't there actually a scene in the first one where someone's getting fried up?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we're not,
speaking to what you were saying, it's crazy the access you get to all that stuff. But, you know, and you also get like some stuff that never makes it to the screen.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I've always like kind of daydreamed about working in the industry and like working on movies that you love and stuff. But it's like things you're passionate about. It's like when you see the bad side of things, it's like, do you really want to be there and see that end of it? Will it ruin your enjoyment of the things you enjoy?
Right. It's kind of like seeing how sausage gets made.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
You just don't – too much information or too much – it's you meeting Harrison Ford. Suddenly it's like, oh, that guy's not cool. And that's no fun anymore. You know, you want to just keep your illusions. So,
and then you make the big mistake of creating this awesome podcast.
And Rudin anyway.
And then it all gets fucked up. Well. Yeah.
And, you know, they're saying now Indiana Jones 5 might be... Janusz Kaminski is saying, like, oh, I'm on board.
Shia LaBeouf, where are you?
Oh, God.
Pull him out of retirement, please.
Sell his eBay collection and get him on.
He's in the Brad Pitt movie.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, but they filmed that a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, crazy. Okay.
What? I thought it was like a remake of Unknown Comic, you know, the career.
That's funny.
You know, Chuck Barris really was a CIA spy.
I love the Unknown Comic.
You know, that movie just can't go forward without Shia LaBeouf.
I want him. That's how we take a really misplaced attempt at being an homage to canon, and we bring it home. Like what's going to happen in Star Wars, you guys? You think all these weird loose threads that are happening in the previous trilogy, like, what, are they just going to bring all those home again? Like, do we have to see the new and improved 3D huts this time? Or?
We do.
Ooh.
I hope that we see the entire Hutt family. Baby Hutts.
Well,
the pizza
gay
Hutts.
Cousin Hutts.
Just start Indy 5 at Shia's funeral. That's all.
Shia?
Yeah, why not? Start it dark.
Bury him with the monkey that fell from the vine.
Yeah. No, he can stay in retirement. That's okay.
We've talked about this before, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. They want to go forward with some version of Indiana Jones. It's a property. They're going to make money on it. It's going to happen. So do we want to see the next movie with an old Harrison Ford? Paul, what do you think? You want to see an old Harrison Ford, or you want to see it recast?
It's kind of a tough one, man. On our libretto for later, there's something about a reboot of a humorous, scary movie.
Yes.
And so that's the kind of point here that, I mean, I say wait, personally. But, you know, there's money to be made. So if you're going to do it, at least kind of go the J.J. Abrams route and, like, a la Star Trek reboot and just commit and stay committed.
So you want to do a time-traveling Indy that reboots the timeline.
Meets himself. Yeah.
Dude, I would probably be on board for that.
Blaine's eyes lit up.
I will say that as much as I'm like, fuck Harrison Ford, I would rather see...
Brought to you by Calcium.
I would rather see... One of my biggest things with the TNG cast of Star Trek movies is that I don't like how it went out. I would like to see them do one more TNG movie with a proper send-out.
Never
I would like
happen.
To see a Harrison Ford Indiana Jones proper send-out, not end
Keep
on
wishing.
Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Okay.
A good
so,
final.
No, and just to clarify real quick, it's funny because I've never been a big Bond fan.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time with that analogy.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. Like, I mean, regardless of what an asshole Harrison Ford was to me, I still love Indiana Jones so much that it's hard for me to see anyone take the place of him. And that's hard. And it's so hard for me that I literally would not go see that movie.
So you don't think you'll ever be able to get over that?
I don't think so, because I already have a problem with people taking over roles. And again, maybe if I had a history of being a Bond fan, that would be easy for me.
100 years from now, they're still going to be making Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
And it's not going to be Harrison Ford.
Well, I will not be alive.
Yeah, I won't blame. I'm with you because I feel like Indiana Jones is one of those franchises where the actor made that character
exactly
who he is.
And I hate giving him that much credit, but it's true.
It's true.
And he is that iconic.
And that's where I'm with, and I always go back to this, is Ghostbusters, is that it's such a lightning in a bottle where these characters made the movie and the franchise. I hate this idea of bringing new Ghostbusters in. That's not what Ghostbusters
was.
You
just don't want... Female Ghostbusters.
I could see them bringing in new Ghostbusters. Maybe not go see the movie. I could see that happening closer. But what if there was a new Venkman?
You're talking about rebooting that character.
Yeah.
That,
what if somebody stepped into that role? Could
Indiana Jones is a specific character to that franchise. Yeah, I'm with
no
you.
There's no fucking way.
I don't see anyone else in.
So it's okay to replace War Machine and Iron Man. Because he's not the main guy. Like, you can't replace Robert Downey Jr.
I had a huge problem with that.
They wanted him to come back.
He was a whiny bitch.
Yeah. Right. Well,
but I had a problem with it. You know, and I had a problem when they switched out Rachel in the Batman trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And I, who would have thought that someone would make me wish that Katie Holmes would come back? I mean, and I was like, oh, she was so bad that I was like, I can't believe I want Katie Holmes here.
I think nothing's ever been the same since... since Orson Welles really screwed us all with Citizen Kane. Like, nobody had ever been given as much control as Orson Welles had up until that point, and no one has ever gotten it again. And this whole kind of, like, talent swap thing, nothing is dear, that's because nobody's allowed to have power for longer than their shelf life. Mm-hmm. You know, just look at Bill Shatner.
Yeah.
And he has come a long way in rectifying his own soul and his and the adoration of millions. But really, sorry, reboot, you're out.
It's funny that you bring that up.
Right.
Because they're talking about having him in the third Star Trek movie.
Yeah. You want to talk about that now? Because I was blown away by that. Your big problem with Star Trek 2, and our big problem with Star Trek 2, but you have a bigger problem with it.
Are you talking about Star Trek?
The reboot, Into Darkness.
Into Darkness.
Yeah. Not the con.
Like, bringing back Kirk into that world just does the same thing that they did with Khan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, they have this amazing opportunity to tell new stories. Or retell old stories in a new framework and give it a little twist on them. They have given themselves carte blanche to tell...
A brilliant carte blanche.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one, by the way, that most fans actually accepted, which is fucking amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They've given themselves this whole big tapestry to play in.
And they went back to the well.
And they keep going back to the well.
Yeah.
I had huge problems with the second one, primarily around Khan. And they're going into the third movie, and they're talking about bringing in Bill Shatner to team up with Leonard Nimoy. Fuck that! I'm tired of it.
Leonard Nimoy didn't need to be in the second movie.
No. It's all fan service. I had such high hopes after the first movie. It's like, you've done your stage setting. Now go tell your stories, right?
And I don't think the fans want to see that. The true Trekker,
I don't think so either.
No,
they're like, move on.
Yeah, we want new. All of us want new adventures.
Yeah,
badly.
No one. I mean,
desperately.
We have five people in this room, all of us to some degree a Star Trek fan. Who wants to see Bill Shatner in a new Star Trek movie?
I don't. I love Leonard Nimoy, but
I don't want to see him again.
No, me either. It doesn't make any sense.
Not only that, but like, if every time you get into some sort of problem, you call up old Spock and go, hey, what'd you guys do last time?
Yeah.
It takes some of the air out of the tires.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a narrative crutch for sure. I mean, Zachary Quinto is hot enough.
Yeah.
He is. He can just carry it.
Just let him do it.
Let him do it.
And he doesn't even have ear flaps.
Right.
Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine make a really great team.
Yep. Yeah.
They did an amazing bit of casting with that first movie to get people to actually go, yeah, I could see this. That's hard. You've got characters that you've been dealing with for, 50 years?
Well, and that's the thing. You're already paying homage by recasting these characters. Why even bring back the old ones?
It's horrible. It's this sense of... We don't have confidence in the franchise, and we've got to go back to what we know the fans will froth over.
They should have brought back Lorenzo Lamas as Khan. Like, that would have been a proper homage to what had come before.
You know, and I don't know that we've talked about this too much on the show.
I just saw him in Ventura.
I
was there.
Yeah. We've But, you know, that's a great point, because at least Lorenzo Lamas looks like...
That's always been my point. My biggest contention with the two is that, you know, fucking Kirk is Kirky and Spock is Spocky.
Right.
Khan is not Connie.
No, whatsoever.
It makes no sense.
It's all J.J. Abrams, I think, is this brilliant filmmaker who fights with J.J. Abrams, the brilliant marketer, and he wants to, like, twist expectations and this whole keeping Khan secret. Which benefits nobody. Mm-hmm. It benefits nobody. The people, like new fans that don't know the old series, don't know who Khan is. So when you do that twist, it means nothing to them. Old fans that do know who Khan is, when you do that twist, it just pisses them off because that's not who Khan is.
Well, and everybody knew.
Yeah,
it was the, like, worst kept secret ever.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, some of the other ideas for the, you know, like they had, a press event, and they had a big book of like sketch work, and they showed kind of like a Benedict Cumberbatch, and it said April, And I was, and they were like, oh, maybe they're going to twist it to be Captain April. And he's...
Oh, no, yeah, they did. Well, in his original, in his name, what was it? John Anderson, Henderson, something, yeah. Something like that, very, which yeah. was from the first episode, you know, so they tried to hide it there.
But it's like, the point is that when you do a twist like that,
yeah.
all you serve is to piss off the people who have actually followed Star Trek for years.
Yeah.
The people who are just new to it are going like, I don't know. I don't care.
Well, and they only got away with it because Benedict Cumberbatch is so brilliant.
He's brilliant, but he could be reading the phone book and be brilliant. You know, he's like true. A great actor.
Yeah.
But you've asked us to take a leap and to say, hey, this is the same universe, just a different timeline. So when you bring in a character that's already been established and you're saying, oh, remember that guy that was supposed to be, what, Middle Eastern, and but was actually played by a Spanish actor. You know, we're now going to recast him with a completely different look, played by an English
who's
dude.
Who's actually Indian, not
then it's
Middle
like,
Eastern.
You just changed the rules on me. And right. That annoys me.
No, and he created the rules. He broke his own rules, and we weren't asking him to. He gave us those rules, and we were like, okay, we're good with it.
Yeah,
and then he broke them himself, and that's why it's awful.
Those are the big things with Into Darkness. But I hate the Khan blood Deus Ex Machina thing at the end. I hate this magic blood idea that keeps being recycled into screenplay after screenplay. Yeah, it's like stop with the magic blood. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's. Once you've established magic blood, all you have to do is keep Khan on freeze, and then you have the Fountain of Youth, dude.
Well, like, and the whole thing about like they had to get Khan back here; he's got magic blood, but yet there is
they have all the
other
ones.
Are right there,
right? And
right in the bag,
and the end of the Consicle. Movie that devolves into a fist fight between Spock and Khan couldn't be less interesting. It couldn't be less interesting.
Yeah,
I don't share your disdain for it. I think that they that there was some cop out stuff.
I don't
but
disdain
I,
you. I dain you.
I do think there's a lot of cop outs. I don't think that OG Spock should have been in there, but I still think that it was a lot of fun. But I don't. It wasn't super Star Trek to me.
No, it wasn't.
Khan's storyline in that film was by far the most interesting thing, and should have been the A plot line,
right.
rather than the B or C.
Yeah, the Admiral.
Yeah, I mean, just his whole like everything.
RoboCop.
That, yeah, everything that happened to Khan. I mean, well, the whole ruse, all of it. That was far more interesting.
If Abrams and team had spent less time trying to make it a secret, and more time concentrating on the Khan plot as a plot
character,
and the character development that goes with that, it could have been a movie that had a lot of impact.
And take away the whole omnipotent combat thing,
right?
Like, because anytime anybody is omnipotent, where do you go from there? Yeah. Oh, God mode. Oh,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense. They spend so much time trying to like pull the wool over our eyes, and like we don't care. For the established Star Trek fan community, if you had said the rise of Khan, and I know rise is big these days. I'm saying they could have come up with something more interesting than that. But, you know, if you put Khan in there and say, like, hey, we're doing Khan, it would have done nothing but to get us excited. And for the new people, they don't give a shit. Again, one way or the other, they don't know.
Well, and it should have been its own story instead of, as you said before, the only way you would understand what was going on is if you looked back to the Wrath of Khan.
Right.
And that's why that movie fails.
Right. All
it does is reference back to the Wrath of Khan.
Right.
And they should have never done that.
The emotional beats rely on your knowledge of an old movie.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake.
That was a mistake.
And even Wrath of Khan, you have to watch Space Seed. You don't think so?
No.
I think Wrath of Khan makes so much more sense if you watch Space Seed.
No, I mean, no.
Does it make more sense? Yes. Do you have to watch it? No, I don't.
You don't have to. You don't have to because they explain it. But as a kid, I knew I had seen Space Seed. So, I mean, that was the funny thing. My parents went nuts when Wrath of Khan, when the commercials came on and it was Khan.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were like, holy shit. And I was like, oh, that guy. I remember that guy. You know, so it was exciting, but you didn't have to.
I was so pulled out of Into Darkness
too much of a Trekkie.
By the Spock fight. Seeing him throwing punches was not the Spock that I was used to.
Well, Spock showed way too much emotion.
Emotion. I just didn't figure him as the physical action hero. You know, he is more the intellectual type. And just seeing him do that pulled me out of the Star Trek universe in general.
It's kind of like Batman. Like, he takes an appraisal of the situation and then one...
Does it
nerve
efficiently?
Efficiently. Yeah, right.
Versus
exactly.
just like boom, boom, trading punches.
As opposed to, yeah.
Again,
yeah.
It's just that summer movie syndrome where you have to have this big action at the end, when if you look back on some of the most famous movies of all time, most famous action movies of all time, they don't have that big action at the end, and it's not necessitated. Anyhow, all right. Cheers to William Shatner putting on his girdle one more time.
Snapping on the hair one more time. Thanks, Bill.
Is he going to wear the green wraparound? That's what I want to know.
Is he going to give us a deal on hotels? That's all I want to know.
Speaking of Star Wars spoilers, I was in London recently, and I was appearing at a convention with Carrie Fisher.
Wow.
And I was
name dropper.
I was hanging out outside with Carrie and her bulldog. And that dog has to go to the bathroom a lot. And Carrie looked fantastic.
Does she?
She looked nice. Fantastic.
She
looked,
so she lost a lot of weight?
Somebody did like an intervention, you know, like, hi, we're locking you in this room for 6 months and you can have 700 calories a day. Because you look at her and you're like, wow, that's the lady I remember. Like, well, her shape is right there. Yeah, she's looking great.
I saw I've followed Carrie Fisher on Twitter for years. And a while ago, she posted a picture of her hanging out. And it was funny because it was literally, she posted this one picture and it was like 2 weeks before they announced the whole Star Wars thing. And I was like, holy crap, Carrie Fisher's hot again. Like, wow. She looked really good.
I haven't seen anything.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
So that's
it's awesome. It's awesome for her. And I really hope that they treat her character well and that they have a chance for some actual movement character-wise. You know?
Yeah, and they don't give it all to Harrison Ford.
My gut is that there's not going to be a lot with her character. But, you know, we'll see. Hmm. There's so many characters in this, and they're definitely going to be having to groom the...
She's going to be, like, digital doubled. They're going to have a virtual Carrie Fisher, and she's going to do all that stuff that Yoda did, all that bouncing off the walls, and all that Daffy Duck stuff.
But before we completely get away from Star Trek and Star Wars and whatnot... And this will coincide a little bit with Paul being here, but Robert Orsi was attached to the Power Rangers remake. He's now since dropped out to concentrate fully on the Star Trek.
Or Star Trek, sorry.
Yeah. Good choice, bad choice? I have no idea, but...
Probably a great choice. Probably an awesome, awesome choice.
Is the Power Rangers reboot under Haim Saban?
It's Haim.
Haim?
And yes, it is.
Well, Haim... Yeah.
Well, of course. I mean, Saban Brands is a powerful, wonderful licensing company, and they've given me many years of
and God bless
wonderful
them.
Work. Yep.
Oh, we're going to do another toast?
Hey, my drink's empty. L'chaim. What happened?
To L'chaim Saban.
Well, we have more.
Well.
We talked a little bit about Indiana Jones. Did anyone see the Steven Soderbergh?
The black and white.
Yeah, he stripped the sound out and made Indiana Jones black and white. Did anyone see this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was pretty cool.
That's kind of neat.
I liked it.
You know what I was kind of interested in is the fact that he replaced the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. Totally took that out, which is what I liked about the original indie, but it was different.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
As an artistic endeavor, do you see the merit of him doing that?
I like it when people do this just to see what it's going to be. You know, does it make it a better film? No.
Right.
No. It's a different take on it, and it's fun.
Do you think it shows how well done it was that it can stand without some of the iconic elements?
I think that's his point, and the point is well made.
Yeah.
I would always encourage creators to... make something new, please.
Yeah.
Can you please keep that other thing going that you were working on instead of the thing that we expect from you?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, a song is a great song no matter like what you do to it. Like sometimes there's a foundation and you can add a whole bunch of glitz and glamour to it, but it's still, you know, the foundation is a great thing. You know, I think movies are like that too.
Yeah.
You know, and what he did to it was really, really cool. I wouldn't watch it over watching the original. No, but it was still, it was beautiful.
I was going to say that I think Indiana Jones in general lends itself to that kind of black and white.
In the same sense that Lucas redid some parts of the Star Wars trilogy for the big digital release, there's no difference than us going on stage and like playing Rocky Horror. It's just kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
I agree with you 100%. I feel like... artists made to be like kind of regurgitated in
for
a way and
we have
relive.
To. Without it, we have nothing.
The only difference is when you deny people the original, then you're basically like if the only thing we ever got was people shadow casting Rocky Horror,
right? Yeah.
Then you're talking about something that's like stepped on,
you're right?
Right?
You're right.
And I've never had an issue with the changes that George Lucas made. I don't necessarily love them, but dude, it's his thing, right? The only issue I have is there was a thing that I loved when I was 7 years old, and that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So no, you need to, like, that's where I get pissed off. It's like, where's that thing?
You know where this ends up, right? With you on a lawn in a bathrobe with a shotgun. Saying, get off.
I see that coming. Me and too. I'm okay with it.
Me too.
Well, the other thing is his additions like stick out like a sore thumb too. I mean, you're talking about making revisions to a movie that's 30 plus years old. And I mean, it's going to be noticeable.
And Hayden, at that time, I was like, why are we doing this? Can we do something new? I mean, the fact that there's like a Boba Fett movie and maybe a Han Solo movie in the works for live action, that is super hopeful.
Yeah.
Depending on how episode 7 goes.
Whatever the case may be, at least it's something new. Don't keep re-tinkering with your old work. It's like, the Mona Lisa's not quite done, but I love the Mona Lisa. Well, give me the Mona Lisa. You know, it's like, I'm going to put a mustache on her. Fuck you.
Anakin didn't die looking like Hayden Christensen.
In 1947, the same year that a UFO is alleged to have crashed on the St. Augustine plane outside of Roswell.
Alleged.
There were, out of 10 number one songs in 1947, 5 of them were covers of the same song.
Interesting.
Pegamine. 5 groups covering the same song all had their versions of that song in the top 10 during the course of the year.
That is fascinating.
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
That is fascinating.
Maybe we just...
The more you know.
maybe I'll just redo Star Wars again and again.
Well, but this brings up a much larger point, is that we're in danger of that as a culture right now, of just regurgitating the same shit over and over again. Because the people in charge of saying yes and no are so concerned about their jobs, they want to make sure that something's going to make money. So we just keep getting the same crap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are movies that are coming out that are original, a la Guardians of the Galaxy, but even those are set within a larger framework. There's a little bit of an assurance that they're going to make some money. The inordinate amount of reboots that keep getting announced and, you know, are on the schedule for the next year and a half. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think they feel like it's a prerequisite for success, right? Like they feel like they have to have it in order to have a reasonable ability to forecast revenue.
Right. You want to have that recognizable property. But it's just sad because I think about the year that, what was it, like Gremlins and Back to the Future, and, you know, I mean, all these movies came out that were original and we're still cobbling, you know, we're still replicating the success of that one summer in 1980, you know, 80 whatever it was. And it's just like, there's so many great scripts out there. We could be doing that again.
Did you see Robert Downey Jr.'s tweet that he just tweeted out? He was like, please go see The Judge this weekend. It's really good, and show support for movies that are actually about people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Original movies about people.
That's great.
You guys go to Universal Studios, right?
Yeah.
There was one thing on the tram tour that always sticks out in my mind when you kind of go through the bungalows where all the writers are and everything. Mm-hmm. They go, yeah, so at Universal there's 790, whatever, how many scripts they get per year, like thousands. They're like, and only 15 or 20 of them are approved per year. And it's like, really? And that's the direct that gets through?
Fun fact, there's a lot of foreign tourists that have my picture as a result of that tram ride.
Really?
Yes.
It was when she flashed.
I used to,
spring break!
Because
did you play Norman Bates?
I didn't know. My stepdad, being the foliar, I used to wander around, and the trams would always go by, and I always knew the foreign tourists because they'd always like take out their cameras and start taking pictures of me. And I'd be like, I used to be like, what? And then finally I was just like,
that
waving.
Is so funny.
Yeah.
Because you were backstage?
Yeah, because I was just walking around. But yeah, and the trams would always go by, and you see all these like Japanese tourists, like, and I'll be like, hi.
I've slept in the Psycho House.
Awesome. Ooh.
You're a rebel.
How did you get out of there?
Was that because you were too drunk after falling down the escalator that you found a place to crash?
That plane is back.
No, I was there. I was there for like an extra thing, you know, on the property. And then you know, you had to wait and shit. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to wander. And I wandered up this fucking hill and ended up behind the Psycho House, which is all, you know, of course it's a facade.
Yeah.
But the entire inside of it was filled with like cement bags and haystacks for some reason. I was like, I'm tired. I took a nap in the Psycho House.
Did you ever go back to your commercial job?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And sign out like, oh, that was a hell of a long day. See ya.
Thank you.
I'll take that $100, please. Thank you.
Oh, really? This gravy and meat chunk thing is awesome.
So let's talk about X-Men a little bit. We haven't talked about X-Men a little bit.
Yeah, speaking of, nobody has any reverence for casting.
tell us your beef.
Well, you know, I mean, similar to like, you know, the timeline trope. The timeline trope allows us to reboot and do whatever we want.
Right. Right.
Yeah. We're going back in time now, and now we've got a bunch of young people, so don't mouth off too much or you're out, Pops.
Yeah.
You know? So I enjoyed the last film. I'm curious to see what happens next.
So are you speaking directly about like Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Storm being recast for the next movie?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And just the whole concept of that trope being used yet again in the last film. And
yeah, do you think that that is a bad kind of a insincere, we're going to cast younger in it, more inexpensive actors thing, or do you think that's, wow, we've really gotten fucked up in this franchise and we really need to clear the slate and start over?
I think the latter is probably the more crystalline point.
Yeah,
no, you're right, and sometimes you do just have to clean house. Believe me, I know.
Yeah, as much as I enjoyed Days of Future Past, the cleaning of the slate, it was not very crystalline. It was very muddy. But it'd be interesting. I mean, Bryan Singer's coming back for Apocalypse.
Yay, not a rapist.
I'm glad someone said it.
Yeah. Yeah, not me.
I
support Bryan Singer. If he were an athlete, I would be an athletic supporter. Like you'd be a
jock right now.
I love him.
Yeah, no. He definitely has been brought to task, and maybe unfairly. We'll never know, but it certainly seems like maybe someone was out for a payday on that one. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's tough. If you want to have a social life in Hollywood, I mean, stuff is going to happen, and
yeah.
And well, I mean, there's a lot of people out there.
He's a powerful gay director, and he's I know nothing about his personal life, but whether he has a proclivity for younger gay actory types or not is not a bad thing. It's just a thing.
I mean, as always, it's on parents to really manage their children and really think what environment they're sending their kids into.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood is...
Oh, my God.
It's a bubble all its own.
I mean, pretty much every human institution ultimately is wrought with corruption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ultimately.
Of course. Yeah.
Sure.
And Hollywood is a hell of an institution.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, not to say that this makes it okay, but the...
Oops, that was my face. Sorry about that.
He got a little hungry.
That was my front tooth on the microphone.
Weird.
That's so weird.
But the tradition of Hollywood being kind of a sexual deviant town goes back to the beginnings of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I mean, you're
Fatty Arbuckle.
Yeah, I mean, just talk about Fatty. Who, in fact, I'm playing Fatty Arbuckle right now, but nobody knows it. Yeah, it's an epic MMO where...
You're doing a great job.
You know, a minute ago we were talking about, you know, people, knowing about certain stories and those stories being remade because of their perception value, right?
Yeah.
That it's an instant payday.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think about the hipster thing, the coolest thing in the world is the thing that nobody knows about.
Right.
Because I love coffee because I go to this place, you probably haven't heard of it. Well, this cup of coffee, no one's ever seen it because I made it in my room alone.
Yes.
And as I drink it, no one has seen me and no one knows how good it is. And then I throw it away. It's the most private, most hipster, next level hipster deal ever.
So the next level hipster stuff is going to be stuff that no one hears about.
Ever. Not even yourself. Yeah. And then you're going to do amnesia and you're like, I got to make myself forget what just happened because it was so awesome.
It's like the invisible boy who only gets invisible when no one's watching.
Yeah, mystery man.
I was going to say even Will Chamberlain's jealous he wasn't in Hollywood. Right?
Wow, you were waiting a long time for
that. I was trying, yeah.
Okay. In your back pocket or off the top of your head?
No, back pocket.
It was totally back pocket.
Totally back pocket.
It was
totally
hybrid.
No, back pocket.
Back pocket.
Have they actually recast those?
No, they haven't. They haven't cast the three X-Men roles yet. But I'm sure it doesn't really matter who they cast. They've done a fairly decent job with casting. It'll be younger.
Can I claim
like
Jean Grey.
Yeah, well, like Paul says, it'll be a younger cast. It'll be
in Days of Future Past when Scott Summers appeared. I mean, he looked like Mickey Rourke. He was like, "What up?" And I was like, "Oh my God, look at the size of his neck!" Good God, man, recast him.
They're saying that that basically the Apocalypse, the next movie, will form the end of a basically second trilogy. That it would be X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, and then X-Men Apocalypse. And that they will...
why does X-Men First Class have to be involved in that?
Well, I mean, because it's all going to be the younger X-Men.
No, I get it. I get it. It sucks.
Yeah. You don't like First Class? No. I didn't know that. I thought I actually really dig
Are you guys X-Men comics fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know there's – it's – It all the arcs all end at Secret Wars, right? I mean, all
yeah,
the
yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah, yeah.
And that's where get, and that's where we're going ultimately with this mm-hmm. media.
I hope so. Yeah.
Oh, they have to. They, yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
So the real question is, how do you take a decade or two or three, in some cases, of really intricate, somewhat like telenovela-esque plot lines, and hammer out the really good stuff?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a, yeah. it's a huge challenge.
It really is. If it were me. Especially based on the idea that the young, you know, but you basically have four people that you're following in the young X-Men trilogy. You know, you're following Professor X, you're following Mystique, you're following Magneto, and you're following Hank McCoy, right? So if that's their story and that ends in Apocalypse, then if they're going to start again, that's a time to start with the Jean Grey, Cyclops. Perhaps Mr. Sinister, have a child. You have a lot of stuff that you could do in a new trilogy that maybe brings in Cable. Who knows where that goes? But it feels like maybe even Cable could be introduced in Apocalypse, and that story plays out, you know, in the next trilogy. That's where I would go if you're saying, all right, we're going to wrap up these, you know, this story arc, and now let's go for the next one. The next one should be Scott and Jean. You know, doing their thing.
Well, and connecting it to an actor arc is that, like with Indiana Jones, is that I think X-Men is bigger than its actors. So these are things that can be recast, and it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe outside of Hugh
it'll
Jackman.
Have to be.
I don't. I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. I love Jackman. We've worked with him on many films at the studio, and he's a wonderful dancer.
And singer.
Fuck no, yeah,
he's a wonderful, wonderful performer.
That's a good actor.
And he was in a bodysuit inside of the scan van, a little skull cap, skin tight bodysuit. This is during production of like maybe I think two.
And why was I not invited to this, Paul?
He was standing up on the platform and he said, "Do my feet look all right? Because Mom always said I had the feet of a dancer, and they're not too lumpy, are they?"
Oh my God!
It's a quote. And of course, he's like kind of mess. He's like watching the guys in the scan van to see like who will crack a smile because it's obviously a hilarious.
Yeah,
statement.
Yeah.
Pretty irreverent guy.
Hey, unapologetically love Real Steel.
I love Real Steel.
Fun movie.
I've never seen Real Steel.
Real Steel is awesome.
Minus the little kid being a little annoying at times. I loved it.
I
love that movie.
Yep.
Apparently, I have to see that.
Yeah. Real Steel is awesome. And he's great.
He's great. Yeah. And not an atypical ending, too. That's what I like about it.
You know, the Dakota Fanning syndrome, you know, the slightly too precocious preteen who happens to be omniscient.
Right.
Of the Jurassic Park movies?
Yeah, you mean, well, any Spielberg movie ever. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not allowed to drive, but I think we should get out of here.
I know gymnastics.
Save me.
Aside from me, who's watching and a fan of Community?
Hey!
Hayden.
I've seen episodes of it.
Love
I wish.
Community.
Okay,
yeah,
so I'm like, you know, I've been really, really stoked since Community was saved from Death's Door by...
Six seasons in a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Yahoo Screen, so they're coming back. They're trying to, fulfill the six seasons in a movie thing, which is... This is going to be the sixth season, and then all we have left is a movie, and we'll be good.
I've heard Dan Harmon on several podcasts.
Dan Harmon is insane.
He's awesome.
He's so awesome.
He's awesome.
Insane.
He's insane, though. And you can tell that he's just one of those people that it's kind of like his universe, and the way his mind works is the way he does things. And you either get on board or you're going to be in conflict.
That's his baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
but I'm so bummed that Yvette Nicole Brown is now leaving Community.
And one thing I didn't understand because I didn't really read up on it because, you know, I'm not. But did she quit before filming ever started?
They haven't started filming yet.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So they get a new season.
Yeah.
Everybody's stoked.
Yes.
And then it's. Like a month later, and she
I
leaves?
Don't think she wants to leave. She's leaving for personal family
reasons.
Her dad is ill.
Yeah.
Her father is ill, and she just feels like she said she's been taking care of him almost 24 hours a day.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, she's on another sitcom, but sitcoms are different than single camera. You know, single camera takes a long time to shoot.
Don't we know it?
Yeah, and so, I mean, she basically was like, I want to be back. I don't want to leave, but I just can't.
I didn't realize that.
She's
like,
I can't imagine the time that it takes to do a single camera and being away from my father that whole time, with as much as I've needed to care for him, I've got to withdraw from this.
As many times as people use that as an excuse when there's, you know, other horrible things going on in life, you know, the spend time with my family.
Yeah,
something else.
I really hope that you know, everything works out okay. Hopefully. With
no,
her,
absolutely. You know? I mean, it's a horrible situation for her to be in to have to even make that choice. So, right. I mean,
and none of us want to go, you know, 3 years down the road and say, I wish I would have spent the time with my.
No, as much as I'm bummed as a viewer of Community, you know, as a human. Like, I totally get it. Like, you go spend time with your ailing dad. That's where that's what matters. But man, I'm bummed because, you know, we've already lost Chevy Chase off the show due to the fact that he's an asshole.
And Danny Glover.
Is that the reason?
Not Danny Glover.
Have you heard Dan Harmon talk about that?
About Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
Every time I've heard him talk about it, he's very gracious with Chevy. And the fact that, you know, he's just, they don't really get along on set.
But he sort of does it the way, like, you just did it. He's like, no, it's, you know, everything's, you know, fine, you know, Chevy, you deal with Chevy. You know, you work with Chevy because he's a big star and an asshole. And then, you know, that's how he does it.
Well, and, you know, he's talked about the fact that, you know, the two of them are friends. They continue to text and... But it's just, as far as an actor, as far as a professional, he's very hard to get along with. And, you know, there's, you know, I've heard Joel McHale talk about being on set with Chevy Chase and almost getting in a fist fight and going like, dude, this is one of my heroes. Like, I don't want to be contentious with this dude, but it's hard. It's unavoidable. Chevy is just very, very contentious.
I have a Chevy Chase story on par with Harrison Ford when I was a kid.
Seriously?
Yeah, totally. In Santa Monica Mall, he was a complete and utter cock to me.
Wow.
You know, it's not worth going into. But he was.
Give us the short version.
Sure. Just you know, he was walking through the mall, and I just ran up and was like, "Oh my god, I'm such a big fan of yours." Whatever. And he looked at me and he. And I was probably about 13, 14 years old, you know, and this is when, you know, I've seen Foul Play and, you know, and it seems like old times. I think Modern Times had just come out.
Yeah.
And that was just mind blowing to me. And I loved it. And I was so excited. And he looked down at me with these eyes of just utter contemption. It was like, I'm here with my family. Get away from me.
Wow.
And I didn't even ask him for anything. I just ran up and said, I'm a really great fan. And he wasn't around anybody, and he was evil. Ooh, yeah. Horrible, horrible.
Mr. T did make a huge impact on me when one Saturday they were shooting at the Sherman Oaks Galleria, and I went, it was A-Team. I like walk up to Mr. T. I'm like, Mr. T, I'm a huge fan. He said, stay, it's cool, fool. I was like, but it's Saturday, sir. It's like a 3-beat pause, and he was like, well, stay in school on Monday. And he turned around and I was like, Mr. T is awesome. Well,
Mr. T is awesome.
And then did the Terminators advice. Go through? Sorry.
Hey, John.
They shot part you know, of the Terminator.
The one thing I will say about that I am excited about with Community is the Russos, Joe and Anthony Russo, who directed Captain America Winter Soldier, are coming back to direct the premiere episode of, and not only are they directing an episode of Peggy Carter or two, but they're coming back and they're doing the premiere of season 6 of Community. So I'm
excited.
All right, let's taste to the falling Chevy Chase.
Yeah, me and you, Chevy.
Tsing tao.
You know, we're done with this show.
Ah, damn it.
That was quick.
It happens so fast. Really fast.
That's what she said.
I am John Mulhall, and you can find me at johnmulhall.com. I write supernatural thrillers. I have a new one coming out, Dark and Broken Things. We're doing a Kickstarter right at this moment. You can find that information at my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/author John Mulhall.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
And I'm Tracy, also known as Hot Nerd Girl, hotnerdgirl.com, facebook.com/hotnerdgirl, Twitter @hot_nerd_girl.
And I am Hayden, writer of Things Irrelevant at geekoutlaw.com, @geekoutlaw, and facebook.com/geekoutlaw.
Wow, truer words have never been spoken.
I'm an honest guy.
I am Blaine. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at iBlaine or idiotstare.com. And right around the time this airs, I think I'm spending all my time at Universal Studios Haunted Horror Nights on the escalators.
Your shirt is seriously freaking me out.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
We want to thank Paul for joining. Paul Schreier.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you.
Such a fun guest, Paul. Where can people find you, or how would you like people to find you?
Well, they can find me at www.com. Jason Narvi is an angry Lutheran.com. Thank you. See you all soon.
Thank you, Paul. One more toast.
Yeah, and in the gutter after the show. Yes.
We are Pod Thingy. You can find us at geeks@podthingy.com.
Thanks, Pod Thingy. You guys are pretty awesome, and somebody smells awesome in here. I'm not sure which one of you it is.
I think it's Blaine.
Awesome.
Yeah, Blaine smells good. You can find us at www.podthingy.com. If you like Pod Thingy, tell a friend. Have them tell a friend. Tell people. That's it. We'll see you next week. It's our Halloween show. See you guys.
Yay! Bye.
This has been an episode of Pod Thingy. Join us next time for more geekery and nerdism.
Scared, Paul?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not apprehension. It's skepticism.